I think Jesus would say, loving God and loving your neighbor are equally important. We must do them both. And so, again, I'm laboring on this a little bit, but what was the genius of Jesus' answer? First of all, he would say, there's no single greatest commandment. It takes two commandments to answer your question. And that put the controversy to rest. There was no debate anymore. He covered it all. What a genius answer he gave. These two commandments summarize all the other commandments. Remember, the entire law and prophets, everything in the Old Testament can be summed up with these two. Both commandments are the greatest. So, loving God and man sums up all the commandments. The whole law can be summed up in a single commandment, Galatians tells us. Namely, you must love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this should mess with you a little bit. Because you see do you see loving God in there anywhere? The whole law can be summed up in one, loving your neighbor. Well, where'd God go in the picture? What'd you leave God out for? I think in the context of that passage, he's talking about our relationships with one another, with people. And that this does summarize all the instructions, all the commands, all the responsibilities we have to one another. That's a good summary. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but did you know that the Ten Commandments can be broken down into two chunks? Commandments 1 to 4 have to do with loving God, and 5 to 10 are commandments about loving your neighbor. Even the Ten Commandments can be divided into two sections like that. In fact, if you don't show love to your neighbor, you may not be loving God at all. In 1 John 3:16 to 18, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, in other words, he sees his brother or sister in need, doesn't reach out to meet those physical needs that that person has, how can the love of God be in him? A person can say, I love God, but when you see your neighbor in need and you don't meet the need, you don't really love God. There's another story, I didn't put it in my notes, but I thought of this one. Do you remember the story in the Gospels where a man is taking his offering to present before God? And while they're at the offer, while they're making his sacrifice, he remembers that his brother has something against him. Do you remember this passage? And the instruction is, leave your worship behind and go make things right with your brother. At that moment, the most important thing in life is not worshiping God, it's going and making things right with your brother. That's a freebie today. I thought of that. I thought, oh, that would be great. But now I'm throwing it in because I don't care about the time. I'm just trying to get through my message here. So I know you care about the time, but I don't. So if you say loving God is more important than loving your neighbor, then you actually are contradicting Jesus. Ooh, that's a bold statement. Because Jesus wouldn't say this. Because he said, loving God and loving your neighbor are both equally important. It takes those two to answer your question. So, even though it sounds very pious to say God comes first in my life. Now, in some sense, probably he does. But when it comes to making a list of priorities and putting them in some sort of an order, that doesn't work very well. But it sounds pious to say God comes first in my life or God is my top priority. But they're not very useful or very practical. Would you agree? Maybe not. You might fight me through this whole thing, but that's okay. We're on the fourth point of the message. They're in the notes there. And this is our fourth point. What we need somehow is some sort of a dynamic equilibrium. We need to balance life's responsibilities, God's commands, his prohibitions, our relationships. We need to find some way to balance those things. Because making that list doesn't work very well. So, especially when there are scores of relationships and innumerable number of commands and responsibilities that we have and share. So what if we stopped talking about top priorities and we started talking about important relationships and responsibilities? What if we stopped putting our priorities in sequential or successive order and started putting them in simultaneous or concurrent order? Simultaneous? Do you have some responsibilities that happen at the same time? To your wife and to your kids and to your work and to your dog and to your house and to the government and this and that. And all of a sudden I think, I got five things I could be doing right now. There are demands on my life this very moment. How do I balance this? What do I do? Where do I go? And so this isn't going to work very well for you. In fact, what if our Christian life is more like multitasking? Got a whole bunch of things. Now, I'm not very good at this. I will start a task, and then it just happened yesterday. I was taking out the garbage. I took the bag out, left the garbage can there, went outside, came back, did something else, and I walk into the kitchen. Oh, I forgot to put the bag back in the garbage can. I was multitasking. I had all sorts of things I had in my mind I was doing at the same time. And that might be more of what the Christian life really looks like. A whole bunch of things all at the same time. Or what if it's more like juggling? Family, friends, relationship, church. Oh, gosh. I'm not very good at juggling, as you can see. And so maybe if there's a new or fresh way to look at this, the traditional approach, is that there are priorities in the Christian life. In fact, there are five of them, or maybe three, or maybe 10. But like I said, never 27. We tend to put them in sequential order, first, second, third. And we do one at a time. Well, we don't really do one at a time in real life, but that's what we think we're doing. I'm putting God first. And then family and church and other people and what other things. Work is in there somewhere if you have a job. And it seems like it's always the same. If you go back to that list, where is it there? That's always the same. It never changes. It's always the same list every single day, every day of my life. But if we look at the innovative side, forgive me for that word if they think that sounds like heresy or something. I've got so many responsibilities. I've got hundreds of commands. How do I juggle them all? What do I do today? And sometimes they happen at the same time, simultaneously, at the same time, concurrent with each other. And no one likes the idea that they might always be changing. Today and tomorrow might be different. Responsibilities, relationships, roles that I play. So our mission, if we choose to accept it, I like Mission Impossible. You guys too? Is to balance life's demands by fulfilling all my responsibilities in every relationship throughout my entire life. Oh no, now you just made the Christian life really hard and complicated. Well, no, if you look at it in that big picture, yeah, maybe. But it's more realistic. This is the real Christian life right here. So I think we're at the place where we're at application. Wow, we're almost done. But this is the best part. This is the most important. This is where you need to pay attention. First of all, let's stop listing priorities and responsibilities in sequential numerical order. Don't do that anymore. Just like I don't want you to say, my number one command is to love God. Don't say that anymore. My number one top priority is twofold. Love God, love my neighbor. Together, same time. Top priorities. So if you're used to making a list or just saying that out loud, now you can say, I'm not going to not dislike you if you do, but it's changing your way of thinking a little bit here. Stop with the list. Stop with the number one, number two, number three, and And let's think of another way to do it. This is maybe a little sarcastic in a way, but Jesus would never have said, God comes first, my disciples come second, the Jews, they're third, the Gentiles, definitely fourth, I come fifth, and I squeeze in the angels whenever I have extra time. Oh, and I try to avoid the Pharisees at all cost. You know, this Jesus would not have made this kind of list, would he? It's almost humorous to think that Jesus would be walking around saying that, well, today my top priority is, well, now on a given day, he might have something he needs to do. On that one given day, he walks by the pool of Bethesda, where all these sick people are sitting around the pool. And God's going to heal one man that day. One. That was his job for that day. There was that time when he was going to pick his 12 apostles. He spent the entire night in prayer. Only time in the Bible it says Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. He had such an important decision to make. His top priority that day, that moment, I've got to pray hard all night long. Because I'm going to pick 12 apostles tomorrow morning. And this is Jesus' life was a day at a time, a moment at a time, looking at the responsibilities, relationships, commands, and whatever else there was, and making those choices day by day, moment by moment. I like to think of this as the three R's. This is number two. It's on the notes. If you don't, I know no one has to write them down, but you might want to think about them later. Identify your relationships, your roles, and your responsibilities. You can change the word responsibilities to commands and prohibitions that God has given to you. Take your role as a father, as a teacher, a mentor. Your relationships with your kids, 1, 2, 3. We have 6 kids. It's hard to maintain a relationship with all 6 of them. None of them live in Spokane. And some of you are in the same way. You're visiting and running around with your kids, trying to maintain those relationships. Because on that day, at that moment, you got to spend time with them. I have a son right now who lives in Chicago. He's on probation. He sometimes drinks so heavily that when he talks on the phone, every other word is a swear word, and he's yelling at his brother-in-law, whom he lives with, and he's just a wreck. And sometimes my top priority is my son at that time when he has that need. It varies from day to day. But how many relationships do you have? Lots of them, right? Responsibilities with each one? Including those that you don't know so well, like political candidates and things that happen in the community and the society with the school district and everything else. You have relationships. Some of them are not real close, but you still have them. And the roles you play in life, that's amazing. So this to me is a better diagram. This is in place of the 1, 2, 3 step down the stair step kind of a thing. At the very center of your life, God is at the center. You've invited Jesus Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior. Well, that's where he's sitting, on the throne of your life. He's the Lord. And we often will put self as last. This puts self as second circle. Because everything you do in life with your roles, relationships, and responsibilities, God is working through you in every one of those areas of life. Jesus would have never said, oh, the least important person. I'm the least important person. I always come last. None of us should think that way. Because God's working through you to accomplish his will and purpose in all those relationships, roles, and responsibilities that you have. You're really important. You might be the top neighbor in your life, yourself. I often think that the person who needs more prayer than anybody else in all of life is me. I need prayer. I need help. I need to grow spiritually. If I'm going to be a good father, husband, father, I almost said mother or something, father, husband, citizen, minister, teacher, neighbor, whatever. It's me I'm the most concerned about. God help me to be that kind of person. You might not buy into this either, but I have an incredible book on prayer that I have. It's called Praying Jesus Way. It examines every single prayer that Jesus ever prayed in the four Gospels. And one of the conclusions, one of the conclusions was, Jesus prayed more for himself than anyone else. I know some of you go, no, that can't be true. If you examine his prayers, he was asking God for help for himself, that he would be able to handle this situation, answer these questions, face the cross, pick his disciples. He was praying for himself, and you should do the same thing. That's why you're in the green circle there. And then out from that is, you look at all the relationships of life as a family and church and world and community and society and neighbors and all those other relationships. And what commands and instructions and responsibilities do I have in those situations? What do I have? And there's a lot of them. Balancing life's demands. That's the key. Not making a list the way that we traditionally would do. Well, the third point then in the application is study the Bible and discover every command, prohibition, principle that relates to every area of your life. There are things that are written to women that I don't have to read very hard. I'm not a woman. There are things that relate to, you know, rulers or whatever. I'm not a ruler. I have certain roles and relationships, so not every command and principle in the Bible applies directly to me, but a whole bunch of them do. Study the Bible. And whenever you find something that God has for you to do, don't add it to the list, but just say, okay, Lord, I know I'm supposed to pray. How often do I pray? I should read the Bible. I should go to church. I should use my spiritual gift. I need to earn an income. I need to invest my money. I need to seek forgiveness from that person I hurt. Maybe I should consider going to the mission field with the group this summer. You know, all of these things that come into your life, and you just ask the Lord, Lord, show me what I should do, because there's so many things today. What do I do today? What do I do this week? And so, fourth one there is lots of number ones. Recognize that all God's commands are top priorities, the greatest and equally important, and sometimes present themselves simultaneously. Ouch! Two things I should be doing right now. And sometimes you can do those two things. Can two or more things be equally important at the same time? Are food and water equally important? Well, you would all say that I can go without food longer than I can go without water. However, if you go without food and water, you're going to die anyway. One might just take a little longer. They're both pretty important. Are your brain and liver, kidneys, lungs, heart equally important? Which one do you want to take out of your body? Are you going to live if any of those go out? No, you're going to die. Are Bible study and prayer equally important? Well, yeah, why not? I think sometimes here in our church, we think that prayer might be more important than Bible study. And for some of the rest of you, no, Bible study is more important. Well, they're equally important. Why don't you do both? Are giving to the Lord's work, to your local church, more important or less important than paying your bills? Maybe they're equally important. Why would you pay your bills to Avista or some other utility company and not give some financial support to your local church and the missionaries? Why would you say, I have to pay my Avista bill, but doesn't matter if I give any money to the church? I'm not pushing money to the church, believe me. I'm just thinking that sometimes we will not give because there's things way more important for my money. What if it's equally important? Are loving God and loving people equally important? The answer, of course, is yes. That's exactly what Jesus taught when he was asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? So as we sort of wrap things up, number five is this. structure your life and organize your time so that you can do the things that God wants you to do. Become the person God wants you to be. You do have to organize your life and organize your time so that you know what you're going to do today and tomorrow. And whenever other things come up in your life, you do need to be aware of the instructions and the principles in the Word of God, so that when an opportunity comes up tomorrow or next week, that comes into your mind and into your heart, and you put to practice the thing that God has for you to do that moment. Number 6, realize that your top priorities may change daily or weekly. Oh, so if you abandon that list, then yeah, you got a new list every week. The things that God has laid on your heart to do. They may change daily or weekly or monthly. Make a weekly list and revise it as needed. Do you do that? I know I regularly make a to-do list of projects I have to do. But do you make a list? I got to visit Bob. He just lost his job. I got to repair that sprinkler system before spring comes. I haven't been in the Word for a while. I got to get into the Word. I got to pay the bills. I've really got to meet with my son. So you're just revising that list. All of these things are responsibilities and relationships and roles that you have given to us by God. It's just a matter of balancing life's demands, isn't it? And then number 7, is this my last one? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. What does this say? Oh, this is a fun statement, because we think, well, how do I do it all? Well, we don't fulfill all responsibilities and commands at the same time, but we do fulfill them all at some time. I'm not very, excuse me for some of you, I'm not very politically minded. And so I'm not into this thing every single day, all that's going on. But I really better be into it in November and October, knowing the candidates, knowing the issues, knowing how to vote. That's going to be a priority then. So sometimes you take life, you know, and as things come up, you give the time and attention that's needed. Here's number 6 then. Seek the Lord. This is probably the thing that puts it all together. We need to ask the Lord for wisdom every moment of every day. What do I do now? I can't just go all through the rest of my life saying God first, family second, can I? What today? What do I do with God today? Family today? Work? Recreation? Rest? What do I do today? Help me, Lord. I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I need you to guide me by your Holy Spirit. So, here's a prayer that you could pray. Dear Lord, so far I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to be getting out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to really need your help. So how about this, though? That was a silly prayer, but how about this as a serious prayer? Instead of waking up and saying, I'm really going to put God first today. And when I'm finished putting God first, I'm going to put my family second. And when I'm finished putting family second, I'm going to work. What if your prayer was more like this? I have so many roles in life, and I have numerous responsibilities, and there are hundreds of commands and prohibitions in the Bible that apply to me. I'm going to see scores of people throughout my day. Lord, guide me. Guide me today by your Word and Spirit to be with the people who need help, to do the tasks that need to be done, to obey the commands that need to be obeyed, to become the person that you designed me to be. Guide me to concentrate on the relationships and responsibilities that are most important today. A prayer like that makes more sense to me than 1, 2, 3. I hope this message will challenge your thinking about responsibilities and priorities and maybe give you a fresh grid, a fresh perspective to put some of the stuff through that God has asked you to do. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that there is so much freedom in Christ to walk by the Spirit and be led by you. And especially in light of how complicated the Christian life can sometimes seem with all the responsibilities and all the things you've asked us to do and be. Lord, I know that we are not on a performance basis with you. Our salvation certainly isn't based on how well we do. But I think everyone here who knows you as Lord and Savior wants to walk in obedience, wants to please you, wants to put a smile on your face by the way you live, by the way we live. So Lord, I pray that you will help us to balance life's demands, that we might do and be all that you want us to do and be. And by your grace, and by your divine and special daily guidance, guide us through each day in all that we have. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for that daily lead and daily guidance. And we lift ourselves up to you and put ourselves in your lap and in your hands. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.